July 29th, the biggest event in boxing in recent years is going down. Unified champ Errol Spence is putting his titles up on the line against, I think it's WBO, check that, welterweight champion Terrence Crawford in the battle of the best two welterweights in the world. Some would say the best two fighters in the world. And we have unified champion Errol Spence repping Dallas, Texas on Higher Learning right now. Champ, how you doing?
Doing good. Can't complain. I got a fighter that's fighting this weekend in Vegas, so I decided to end my camp in Vegas.
Yeah, you're doing the promotion game too as well, so you're on both sides of it. It was really important for you to be a promoter, from what I've learned. Why is it important for you to actually control the game as well as just be a part of it?
Because a lot of fighters we have poor representation, especially, you know, with promoters and managers, because they really don't understand what it's like to be a boxer, what boxers go through. And I think if I'm a promoter, I can, whatever a boxer going through, you know, mentally, physically, you know, what fighters go to once they get to the highs, when they make a lot of money, when they get to lows, when they don't have a lot of money. I've been through it all. So my understanding is way different from someone who's, you know, 60, 70 years old and more out of date, really don't know what a fighter go through, and don't even know what, you know, today's young people is going through, period.
Word. So about this fight in particular, there's been so much talk about who's going to win. I'm bored with it. I'm bored with trying to predict who's going to win the fight. I don't want to hear no more about it. I don't want to hear anything about it unless I'm talking to one of y'all. Now, I've heard that if you're going to win this fight, it's because you are going to pound Terrence Crawford into submission with relentless pressure and the angles that you can create, the jab, smothering him. Is that the way you see yourself winning the fight? Are you going to take Terrence Crawford to pound town?
I think it's going to be a number of ways I'm going to beat him. I think, yeah, pressure definitely. Boxing definitely beating him. Just fundamentals, using my jab. But the key is, to me, is just being just focused 100%. You know, not having any lags in the fight, because I feel like you look at the greats, like Floyd Mayweather, a lot of guys, they always was focused on their opponent. Doesn't matter. The guys who lose focus even for a split second, you know, that can cost you. That cost you in the fight. So for me, it's just stay focused, listen to my coach's game plan, and basically just breaking them down mentally, physically, and winning the fight in dominating fashion.
So that's true. You're going to take him to pound town is what you're trying to say. It's okay to say it, Errol. Talk your shit.
Oh, I'm punishing. Yes. I'm going to say punishing. Everybody seeing the way I fight and see what I do. So they know, like, if he can't hold up physically and mentally to how I fight, you know, it's going to be an ugly night for him. It's going to be an ugly night for him regardless. Even if he can hold up, it's going to be an ugly night for him regardless.
This episode is brought to you by Jiffy Lube. Cars can be a big investment, so it's important to take care of them. I once got a car that I started out with 25,000 miles on. I got it to over 200,000 miles because I took care of it. You know how you take care of a car? You take care of the maintenance, the oil, the brakes, all that stuff. And if you don't, you can have a car just completely fall apart. When your car needs maintenance, head to Jiffy Lube. They provide automotive excellence at speed. Get your oil changed, brakes checked, tons of other multi-care services. It's all done by expertly trained technicians who actually care about taking care of you and your car. Jiffy Lube, car more. To find coupons and start an instant online estimate, visit JiffyLube.com. This episode is brought to you by Cars.com. When you add your car to your garage on Cars.com, you'll unlock access to real-time insights into how much your car is worth. Plus, view its historical and projected value to decide when to sell. So when the time is right, you can secure an instant offer from a local dealership or sell it yourself on Cars.com. Start tracking your car's value with Your Garage on cars.com.
Yeah, I watch you fight. I've seen every round you've ever fought, should I say. And it's times in the fight where I go, man, Earl is enjoying this. Like, you come across like a nice guy, but I gotta be real, bro. You really like beating niggas up, bro. You like punching the shit out of people. When did that happen in your life that you realized being in there and competing somebody and taking something from them is something that you enjoy?
It probably happened when I used to spar before I even fought. And I just got to enjoy me. That sounds kind of sadistic, but...
Nah, I know you like it. Go ahead. Yeah.
You got to, you know, kind of enjoyment, you know, putting somebody, beating somebody, breaking somebody's will. I get enjoyment of breaking somebody's will. Like, when you break another man's will, especially grown man, you break his will, that says a lot. You know, another grown man, you breaking his will with your bare hands. I mean, not with your bare hands, but with your gloves, you breaking his will, which that says a lot. And that means, like, you basically conquered that man. You basically destroyed that man. And you just broke his will. And I know his family, his friends, and everybody watching. So, and he's not trying to get, you know, his will broken in front of everybody. And you just broke him.
You ever think about when you boxing in there, you know, you breaking the man's will, you taking his will that, you know, his girl is watching. And, you know what I mean? Like, his girl, because they always do this thing when they fighting, right? Is they cut to the wives.
Yeah.
And every time they do that, bro, it breaks my heart, because these women are down there going through it. You ever think, like, I'm about to take this man's will, his girl is watching, and who knows, she might be in my DMs after the fight, the way I didn't beat this man in front of everybody on pay-per-view.
Nah, hell nah, because he's trying to do the same to me. So I want them to cut and show his parents and show his girl. I want them to show my girl, and my girl is about to pull her out, and my mom freaking out too. So I'm trying to have it opposite, and I'm trying to break him. So I'd rather his family cry than my family.
Exactly. You know, I'll be honest with you, Errol. You know, I thought y'all was gonna fumble this, bro. I was starting to lose faith in y'all, bro. Y'all was getting on my nerves, bro. I was like, yo, it's a bunch of fights every week. It'll just be a different random fighter. It'll be like Terrence Crawford versus Harvestesian or something like that. And I'll be like, bro, what's going on, man? What took so long to get the fight made for all the fight fans out there? Why did it take so long?
Just business and negotiations. You know, now in today's time, it's more boxers, athletes in general, which is more, you know, business savvy. You know, we have control of our career. So, you know, it's a lot of different demands. Some demands, you know, unrealistic and, you know, just, you know, far right. But, you know, you try to come to a conclusion and make the fight happen. So it just took a long time, just getting out of kinks and getting out of wrinkles out of it. But, you know, we finally got to this point. But, you know, the ball almost fumbled probably about 30, 40 times. But we got to the finish line.
Got to the finish line. That's good. You know, I want to ask you something, and it's just about boxing in general. I remember... back in the day, I had a Mexican friend, and he still is a good friend of mine. And I went to watch a fight with his family, and it was Oscar De La Hoya versus Bernard Hopkins. And I get inside of the house, and I'm watching the fight with his family, and I realize very quickly that I'm outnumbered, because I'm looking for B-Hop to go to work. That's what I'm looking for. And the whole family, obviously, I didn't think about this, is rooting for Oscar De La Hoya. So, you know, B-Hop stops him with the body shot, and I'm like, oh! That's what the... And I look, and everybody's looking at me. I'm like, yo, man, I might need to calm down a little bit. Are y'all cognizant of that when you guys are boxing, in terms of the fact that boxing is a heavily racial, ethnic pride driving thing? Like, have you ever been in the ring and been like, man, I can't lose to this white boy? Like, have you ever?
Yeah, for sure. That's how it always is. It's like, it's really like, that's something that everybody think about. Like, especially if you black, like losing to, you know, to a white guy, like that's like taboo in the black community to, you know, lose a fight to, you know, to a white guy, you know. Might be, you know, sad to say, but it is. That's just what it is. That's how we grew up. But yeah, I am cognizant of how just racially divided it is. Like, you got countries, like this guy might be Argentina, all the Argentina is gone for him. This guy Mexican, all the Mexican is gone for him. And it's just kind of sad because, like, with the blacks, it's not like that. It's like, it'd be black versus a Mexican, and they're going to go for, you know, some blacks are going to go for the Mexican. You know, and it's a divide. But, you know, when it's, you know, Mexicans or white or Russians or guy from UK, you know, they people want, they guys going for their guys. You know, but with us, you know, it's more, you know, of an argument. And just because you're black don't mean I gotta pick him. Yeah, you don't, but you know what I'm saying? You would like to see that.
Right. Yeah. Bro, you know, I be boxing, bro. You know, I be in there, man.
You know? Oh, yeah. Training you be sparring and stuff?
Yeah, I spar. You know, I spar. I like, you know, and it was interesting how you just did that, because when I said I box, you think, you know, I'm hitting the pads, and you like, he don't really get in the ring, bro. I get in the ring, I get my bell rung a little bit. You know, I go up against people, and it's lonely, dog. You know, I'm confiding in you right now, because if I'm on the basketball court and I got somebody in front of me and I can't get a bucket, I could pass it. I could set a screen. But when you in that ring and somebody just whooping your motherfucking ass, it's not much you could do, bro.
And nobody can say you but yourself taking a knee, quitting, your coach throwing in the towel, or the referee stopping the fight. There's only three people they can say in the fight.
Is when you are to that point where you know you're in a fight and you're being pushed to your limit, to where it's like, damn. What is the thing that you do to make sure? Because sometimes I get hit hard and I just go crazy. And I'm like, look, I ain't no bitch. So whatever. And every time that happens, I get beat up. Every time. Yeah. What does Errol Spence do to control his aggression in moments where the fight gets really, really super rough? Because in this fight right here against Terrence Crawford, yeah, I guarantee you the person who can dig the deepest is going to win this fight. What are you going to do? What do you do to stay focused when it really, really gets high level in there?
I think that comes from, you know, experience, you know, being, you know, having not the exact situation, but having some situation like that. And it just comes from just, you got to have, I feel like you got to have an if factor. And that's what the greats and the somewhat greats had, like guys like Mayweather and Cotto and all the guys, they had something inside them, you know, that you push them, they're going to push harder. And my whole thing is, if somebody push at me, I'm definitely going to push harder. And in my head, I'm like, I get back to the corner, I'm like, man, he got me fucked up. Like, I ain't going. Like, I'm not going. And my instinct, that fight or flight instinct, a lot of people had that flight instinct where they, you know, they're going to quit, or, you know what I'm saying, they're going to crumble. For me, my instinct is always fight. Like, I got to think of a way to get out of this situation, or I just got to fight five with five and try to back him off. So that's basically the situation I've been in. I just fight five with five. Like, you coming at me, I'm going to come at you even more harder, two times harder than you come at me.
Is that the Dallas in you? My co-host, she not here right now, but she is from Oak Cliff in Dallas. And so she always be acting like she hard, bro. You know what I mean? She be acting like she hard. I'm from Baton Rouge. I don't know if it get much harder. You know what I mean? But she be acting like she hard because she from Dallas. She's very, you know, her daddy was a judge and stuff, but she still, she be, you know, repping Oak Cliff and all of that stuff. Is it the Dallas in you? You fight for Dallas? Is that one of the reasons why you got that dog in you like that? Because I was out there, man, and I'll be honest, just to deal with the heat, y'all got to be some dogs. It's ridiculous in Dallas, bro. Tell us about growing up there, like what kind of fighter that made you.
Oh yeah, you definitely growing up in Dallas, you're fighting all the time, and getting the situation, this school fighting this school, and this league fighting this league. This type of situation on the parties and all that. And there's no quitting me, just how I was raised by my mother and my father. And them, they just setting them type of, standards. And when I played football or any sport I played, it was no quitting. My dad, I didn't want to quit in front of my dad anyway, or him seeing me quit. Like, it's been times I spar, whatever, I look out to the side to see, and I actually look on his face and see, how he feel about what I'm doing in sparring or what I'm doing in basketball, football, whatever. So, it was always to make my parents happy and don't disappoint them. Mm. That was my big thing. And then once I got kids, it was, get them a better life, make sure I made the most out of boxing, and I walk away, with my mind intact and my finances great too. That's right. The main thing for me. And a lot of boxers don't realize that. They just want to fight. I want to fight the best. Yeah, I want to do that when I was younger, but now, I'm trying to get paid. Yeah, I want to fight the best, but it's all about, getting paid and getting out to the game and not getting abused and used. But as you said before, yeah, it is a Texas city because our gym is about 100 some degrees in our gym, and it's humid in there too. So, our gym was literally like, you gotta go outside just to get a breath of fresh air.
Yeah.
Because it's so hot in our gym. And we got a tin roof too. So if you stand still, like the heat, you'll feel the heat like coming down from the tin roof. Like, it's a real old school gym.
Right. Man. That's crazy. As soon as I get in the gym, I turn the air on 65, bro. I need to be able to breathe. I don't know.
Oh, what y'all niggas on in there, bro. We just got fans that run and just blow hot air.
Nah, bro. I need to be trying to get, look, I got a question for you. So, you're undefeated. Terrence is undefeated. There are a lot of fighters in the game now that are protecting O's. Let's be real. I'm a big boxing fan. They're protecting O's. Yeah. And for people who might not be as deep into boxing, is that when I say protecting O's, I mean they're protecting undefeated records because the most skilled fighter of our generation, Floyd Mayweather Jr., never lost a fight. And that was a big part of his narrative, is that he never had a bad night under the lights. Yeah. There is a conversation amongst boxing fans about whether or not that is good or bad for the sport, right? About whether or not Floyd himself and the way he went about things, as much as awesome as Floyd was and as amazing and untouchable as Floyd was, whether or not that was good or bad for boxing as far as big fights being made. What do you think Floyd Mayweather's legacy in terms of the way he went about the business of boxing, the matchmaking, or anything like that, that fans might be talking about? Do you feel like that was good or bad for the sport, like Floyd?
As a boxer, Floyd was great for boxing. Floyd is great for boxing. Just he basically, changed the sport. He got paid more. He took the fights on his own terms. Basically, everything happened on his own terms. The way he was getting paid. Things like the way he left the sport. He left the sport with his brand still intact. Still a boatload of money, crazy money. And he didn't lose, but I mean that's not his fight. He didn't lose. He fought probably like 20 something world champions and beat them all. So I mean it's not his fault. Just like with Pacquiao, he didn't fight Pacquiao at this time because he wanted Pacquiao to take a drug test. And Pacquiao would take a drug test, and Pacquiao finally took a drug test, when it was a little bit older. I mean, that's not his fault. I don't blame him for not fighting him. I mean, he's suspected him to be on something. So, I mean, because a lot of people saying he was on something. So, I feel like Floyd was great for the sport because he made more boxers think about the business of boxing rather than, you know, just shutting up and just going to go fight. And he taught a lot of boxers. Like, people don't understand. He said hard work, dedication. And with a lot of boxers, they get mixed up with what Floyd is doing with the Ferrari, Lambo, Rolls Royce, big houses, jewelry. Okay, he got all that, but how they get it? Hard work, dedication. He stayed in the gym, stayed working, stayed training. Never got into a fight, had stepping, never got tired in a fight. You know, he always worked on his craft. His motto was hard work, dedication. He was pretty boy before he was Money Mayweather. And a lot of kids, a lot of young boxers try to be Money Mayweather before they pretty boy. And so it's just certain phases you got to go through. And a lot of fighters, they don't understand that. They just see the money and see the jury, the cars, and all that. And they don't see how he got all that. They're just looking at it right now. But he got all that hard work and dedication. So I salute him. And I think he was great for the sport. He made more boxers become businessmen rather than just being a fighter in the boxing.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. I was traveling internationally last year. I was in Mallorca. I didn't know the island well. I said, let me head to the north, head towards the water. Let me go on Hotels.com and see what they have available. Something preferably on the beach, maybe even a gym. Not only did I get those things, there was a kids session with exercise, gymnastics in the water, pony rides, a train. It had everything, and I didn't even want any of those things. But at least I knew they were there, just in case I changed my mind. And now finding the perfect hotel has never been easier thanks to the Hotels.com app. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly, right, all-inclusive, or a relaxing spa weekend, you can find exactly what you need and compare hotel prices, ratings, and amenities side by side. So start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
I got two more questions for you, champ. I'm not going to hold you for forever. I know you got to get back to training and I guess like, you know, eating salmon and running or whatever you're doing. Your weight's good. All of that's good right now. You get out. I'll be watching the All Access. Y'all wake up. He's like, I wake up, I eat, and then I go and I spar for 7 hours and then I run and then I go to sleep. I'd be like, man, God bless these motherfuckers. that's crazy. I see y'all doing this. It's a dedication. There's a lot of talk and rankings in terms of fighters. We rank fighters top in the division, top pound for pound, anything like that. Since you've been fighting at 147, you've always been 1, 2, 3, you know, since you've had the belt, as far as like you've been up there and stuff. Are there any fighters out there that you look and you say, I just don't see how this guy is ranked this high? Are there any fighters that you think are crazy overrated in the way that people look at them and view them, and you don't see why people have them in such a high regard? You feel like people normally get that about right?
They don't get it about right as far as the rankings, but I mean, all of them supposed to be there. I mean, the rankings can be different, but all of them definitely supposed to be there.
Like Terrence Crawford himself, he is looked at as the most versatile fighter at 147. It's going to be a handful, Errol. There's a lot of people. He's looking at the most versatile fighter at 147. It's a switch hitter. He's a great athlete. I saw this video on YouTube a couple of days ago of him deadlifting like 475 pounds, and it looked like when he looked in the camera that he was looking at you. I'm not gonna lie, bro. It looked like he was like, yeah, what's happening with that? You know, what do you feel like your biggest advantage against Terrence Crawford will be? A guy who's so highly rated, who's so skilled, besides size. Obviously, you're a naturally bigger guy. But besides size, what do you feel like your big advantage over Terrence Crawford would be?
He definitely not more skilled than me.
He's not more skilled than you. You don't think so?
Nah, it's a difference for being talented and skilled. Talented guy gets the skills is something you learn being in the gym. Like, I'm like let's say Kevin Garnett and Tim Duncan. Kevin Garnett is more talented than Tim Duncan, but he's not more skilled than Tim Duncan. You know what I'm saying? That's the same thing with me. He's more talented than me, guy given ability and, you know, do different things, but he's not more skilled than me. I feel like I got way more skills than him. And he's extremely gifted. You know, I say like, you know, he might be like a, not as far as like reflexes, but he'd be like a, you know, Roy Jones type gifted type guy. But as far as, you know, skill wise, Bernard Hopkins was more skilled than Roy Jones, but Roy Jones was more talented than Bernard Hopkins. So that's the thing, you know, I feel like that's the same for me and him. I mean, it's gonna be a huge task, but you know, I'm willing to do it. It's gonna be a huge task for him to beat me too, especially like how he did his other opponents and Sean Porter all them. I feel like he can do nothing to me to the aspect that like he done the last, I think he beat like the last 10 or 11 guys he knocked out. I feel like he can't do nothing even slight the same to me as he did to them.
All right. By the way, just let you know, KG gonna hear this. He gonna be mad, bro. Kevin Garnett gonna be like, why? He KG and the KG and Tim Duncan thing used to I'm a little older than you. Used to torture KG. He gonna be like, why Errol Spence dissing me right now? But like what I did to
Errol Spence.
This episode is brought to you by Anytime Fitness. We're not all professional athletes, but we all have health goals. That's why Anytime Fitness gives you access to personalized plans and support from a coach. Plus, you can track your training, nutrition, and recovery progress with the Anytime Fitness app, just like the pros. With 24/7 access to more than 5,000 gyms worldwide, get more from your gym membership. Visit anytimefitness.com to try it for free today. Terms, conditions, restrictions all apply. See website for details. This episode is brought to you by Atlassian. Atlassian software like Jira, Confluence, and Trello help power global collaboration for all teams so they can accomplish everything that's impossible alone. Because individually we're great, but together, we're so much better. Learn how to unleash the potential of your team at Atlassian.com. Atlassian.com. Atlassian. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
So last question I want to ask you. You know, I told you I'd be boxing, but rappers be boxing too.
Yeah.
It's always, yeah, see, you laughed. See what happened? I want everybody to hear what just happened when I said that to Errol Spence Jr. He laughed because Errol Spence has seen these videos. And sometimes y'all put these videos out and y'all in the midst and y'all be thinking y'all be going ham. It's good. So I'm going to do this. We're going to do an exercise real quick. It's called Rapper Rounds. I'm going to name a rapper and then you tell me how many rounds it would take Errol Spence Jr. to take this rapper out. If y'all was fighting, you down to play this game?
Yeah.
Okay. Drake, how many rounds could Drake last with you?
Man, that would be 30, probably 45 seconds. He kind of, you know, he got a little beef on him, so he'll probably take some shots, come up. That's about it.
Meek, you and Meek, how long is Meek going to last?
Like, you showing out now. Man, you see Meek hit them down, hit that bag, man. He's going to break out a wet paper bag. Nah.
All right, okay, let's go up and wait a little bit then. Let's go up and wait a little bit. 50 Cent. Errol Spence and 50 Cent. How many rounds you feel like? 50 be boxing, though.
He used to box. But he ain't in no shape, though. So, I mean, a lot of these guys, it's just how many seconds I would want to take them out. But, I mean, I give him probably 2 minutes.
2 minutes. Okay, 2 minutes. You didn't say for Meek, so I'm assuming for Meek it's like 15, 20 seconds.
He'll probably take 5 seconds.
All right, last one. This guy really be boxing. And this is my something that you might look at down the line, you know, after your career when you just stealing money from people, fighting exhibitions on Zeus Network or whatever it is. Errol Spence versus Blueface. Blueface, hold on, before you do this, champ, before you do that, Blueface, like 6'4", you know what I mean? He a southpaw like yourself. He been fighting for a little while, bruh. You know, he got you. He got, he's a little bigger. How long you think you and Blueface, if Blueface is in the ring with you, how long would that last?
He look like he be taking it serious if you box himself. May probably be a minute.
Okay. So I'm looking at this. Rick Ross, I saw Rick Ross hitting the heavy bag too, but you know, we'll leave the boss out of this, man.
Rick Ross, big as hell.
Big as hell. So that, okay, so Rick Ross big. So then you're saying that he might last a little bit longer?
Yeah. I would think so unless I hit him in the head.
So is there a rapper in the world that could make it to the second round with Errol Spence if you were trying to take them out? Is there any rapper in the world?
Nah. The most of the young rappers be skinny, little. Nah.
Yeah. Champ, you focus, bro. You focus, because you took that way more seriously than I thought you was going to. Like, when I thought you was, I said that, he's like, nah, 45 seconds. I saw your brain computing how you would take these guys out. I'll ask you one last question. Has there ever been anybody, like rapper, athlete, actor, whatever, that you've seen working in the gym that you've thought he looked like he could fight?
It was somebody, I can't even. There's somebody that was all right. I don't know who it was. I think, you know, who was it?
Maybe Michael B. Jordan. You ever seen him work out for Creed? He looked like he take it pretty seriously.
Nah, I ain't never seen him. I want to say, was it Uzi? It was somebody. It was somebody that was all right, that was hitting the bag all right. Toby too. Toby, I.
Toby who?
Toby, he rap. He African.
Oh, nah, yeah. Toby from Houston.
Yeah, from Houston.
Nah, I seen him in there with in there with Charlo.
Yeah.
I actually when I saw him in there with Charlo, that's my man. I actually hit him up and I was like, yo, I'm gonna be in Houston pretty soon. You know, I asked him if he can give me a couple rounds. Like, how far? Like, I'm just give you some specs real quick. You know, I'm a southpaw. You know what I'm saying? I do my thing. I'm 6'4". I'm about 265, 270 now. How long do you think I would last if we got in the ring? You know what I mean? If it was me versus you, like, how long you think I would last? You know?
And I was trying to get you.
Yeah, you trying to take me out. Look at this. Let me give you the shoe shine right there, champ. You know,
doing like that, it's over. It's over quick.
It's a wrap.
You'll be dude, though. It's about 6'4", 260. You said 260?
Yeah, about 265, 270. Yeah, I'm a big guy.
You solid.
Yeah. So next time you get on here, I'm gonna show you some video. I didn't wanna push it too much, you know, because I might jump in there and take a fight. You might be promoting me. I might want Frank Martin.
Hey, you know what I mean? If Frank wanted about 5'4".
I might want Frank Martin. I might want to jump in there. Or I mean, do you got any heavyweights?
Yeah, we got Anthony Joshua.
Okay. All right. Nah, I don't want that. All right. Okay. Champ. Thank you so much for joining us on Higher Learning. Great luck. I'm wishing you luck. I'm wishing Crawford luck. But more than anything, I hope both of y'all come out of this healthy, and ready to do it again. I think it's going to be a razor close fight. Whoever wins, and I hope that we get a couple of these, maybe even a trilogy, so that y'all can make as much money for y'all families as possible. We appreciate you joining us on Higher Learning, brother. Good luck and continued success. All right, my man.
Appreciate it.
This episode is brought to you by Hotels.com. When I went on my last holiday to Cape Town, it was amazing. My friends were there, the weather was phenomenal, and most importantly, the food was fantastic. But one thing I struggled with was finding the right places to stay. You know, all I want is a great bed, a fantastic shower, and breakfast that doesn't end at 8 a.m. I'm on holiday, I'm still sleeping. I also like ease, and the Hotels.com app easily helps me to find a perfect hotel for every trip. Whether you're looking for a family-friendly getaway or a relaxing spa weekend, on the Hotels.com app, you can compare up to 5 hotels side by side. Now, why would you want to do that? So you can see prices, amenities, and star ratings. And best of all, you don't have to switch back and forth between options. See? Ease. So, start planning your next getaway and find your perfect somewhere in the Hotels.com app today.